Morning, and certainly good to be back in our place this morning. Last Sunday, we were at Chattanooga, Brother Dustin Taylor, and their homecoming. Had a good time there and enjoyed the fellowship with he and his family. And the church folks are so gracious and good, and so we certainly enjoyed our time. But it's always good to be back home and be back in the place where the Lord has given us. Do be praying for our camp meeting coming up here in just a couple of weeks. It's just around the corner, and so be praying for that, praying for the folks that will be coming to be with us. I've heard from some, and some I've heard from that is not going to be able to come. A lot of different reasons and different things that take place. And I had one fella call me this week. He said, "I just want you to know why I'm not able to come." He said, "Don't want you to think I don't want to come." But his wife is very, very sick and has MS, and he pretty well has to stay there close by. And he and I have been friends for a long time. He said, "I didn't want you to think there's anything wrong." And told him we'd be praying for he and his wife, his family, and I pray God's blessings upon them. Brother Kenneth Ballinger, you probably know Brother Ballinger, and so pray for his wife, and she has MS really bad, and I think now confined to a wheelchair, not able to do a whole lot. And Brother Ballinger's been there in Mayfield for a number of years preaching there at the church where he is, and he wanted us to know why, and wanted me to know why, and then others have called for other reasons, and we understand all that, and I believe the Lord will give us the very things that we need during the week. Sharon, turn this one up just a little bit. All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. The book of 2 Peter, Peter, as he writes this second epistle, he writes with the, I believe, both of his writings, or both of his books, he writes with the understanding that his departure is very near. He says in these verses, in verse number 14 of chapter 1, which we're not going to read that far, but he says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." So Peter realizes his time upon the earth is very short, and we know how that Peter was martyred for the Lord. He was crucified, and he was crucified upside down in his last moments and last days. He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way my Lord was." And so he requested that they crucify him upside down. And so he realizes his departure is coming. He realizes his time is short because the Lord had shown him, as he states there in verse number 14. But as we look in this first chapter, I want us to read just a few verses here in chapter number 1, and we'll make mention of some of the things, in especially the first four verses, but we'll read a little farther than that to get to the entire scope of the message that Peter's giving. And he starts out in verse number 1, says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you lack these things, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Here the Apostle Peter is writing to some folks that he knows, and as it is given to us and recorded to us in the Scripture, it is as if Peter is writing to you and I as he knows us. We believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures, so therefore the Holy Spirit does know us, and the Holy Spirit takes these words and applies them to our heart, just like Peter would apply those to his friends and those that were that received this letter from him. And he introduces himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He introduces himself just as a keeper or as a helper in the work of the Lord. But in these first four verses, the apostle gives to us some very important things about life and also eternity. You know, it's an amazing thing. These four little verses in this small book, you could spend hours and hours studying and reading and even proclaiming messages from these verses. And so there is a vast knowledge here given to us. If the world in which we live only knew the reality of salvation, if they only knew really what it means to be born again. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about following principles of a church or the ideals or even some teachings of some churches. But if they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. It's an amazing thing when you try to win people to the Lord and talk to them about Christ. They act like you're giving them some bad medicine. They act like you're coming at them with something that will harm them or hurt them, and they're afraid of what you're telling them. But if the world, if they only knew the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they only knew the presence of the Holy Spirit, if they only knew the honor that God gives to his people, and they certainly would flock and would come quickly to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, in our world, most people equate salvation with religion. They think if you're religious, you're okay. But certainly religion has turned many, many people away from Christ. The scandals, the problems, the difficulties that people face and try to cover and do not take care of the things that need to be done, that's the actions of religion. But you and I this morning, thank God he sees us for who we are and understands what we are, and he reveals to us the truth about ourselves, and therefore we can come to know him. In Christ, if we have the Lord in our heart, we, praise the Lord, have the forgiveness of sins. My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, whether they be past, whether they be present, or whether they be future. And someone says, well, if my sins are already forgiven, so I guess it doesn't matter how I live or what I do because it's already been forgiven. Paul says, God forbid that would take place. If we think grace, in order for grace to abound, we've got to sin more so grace could abound more. Paul says, God forbid that attitude. The attitude that we should have is that we're thankful that my sins are gone and we attempt and try our best to live for the Lord because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We have the peace of God that the Scripture says passes the understanding of the world. We have a life that is satisfying. I know a lot of people that are not satisfied with their life, but a spiritual life, a life with Christ, is a satisfying life. It's a satisfying heart that would serve and honor the Lord Jesus. And so you can tell them all that you want to, that Jesus loves them and died for them, but they are fearful many times of that reality. What it is, as Matthew describes to us in Matthew chapter 7, they are on that broad road that leadeth to destruction. They're entering through that broad gate that leads to damnation. And therefore, it's an easier way. It's an easier road. It's a fleshly road. It's a road that is by nature what we desire. But that's not the road that we need to be on if we want to have a joyful eternity, if we want to have an eternity with Christ. Sometimes even you and I, as a saved person, we forget what we have in Christ. We forget the many blessings that the Lord has given for us. And sometimes we even take for granted day by day all these things that God has given unto us. Here the Apostle Peter, he writes about adding to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, and that list that goes on and on that we are to add to. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make that you should neither be barren or unfruitful. So if these things that we should add to our life, virtue, faith, knowledge, temperance, goodness, all those things, if those things make us faithful, it make us not to be barren or not to be unfruitful, but they give us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings joy to the believer. That brings joy to the heart of the child of God, because we know that we're saved. Saved by grace, saved by His mercy and His love. But then he says in verse 9, if you lack these things, if these virtuous things are not in your life, he says, if you lack these things, you're like a blind person that cannot see a far distance. All he can see is up close and don't see out there in the future. Well, if I was looking right now, if all I had to look at was the nasty now and now, buddy, we'd be in terrible shape. You turn on your TV, you turn on the news, you read the newspaper, and everything we see up close is a very harmful and a very discouraging world in which we live. And so if we don't have these things working in our life, we can't see the far-off picture. I'm glad this morning the Word of God gives us that far-off picture. It gives us a place called heaven, and we can rejoice and know that one day we're going there. And these things that are going on around us now, and the problems of our world and our society and our country, and how that things seemingly good is called evil and evil is called good. And Isaiah said there'd be a day when that takes place. And I believe we're living in that day when good is called evil and evil is called okay. It's called good. And so if that's all we can see, we have a problem. But thank God these things in our life we can see afar off. And we can see what is ahead of us and some things that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our world is in despair. Our nation is certainly in despair, and we have been defiled by the wicked one. All you have to do is look around and you see the destruction that's taking place in the lives of individuals and the lives of people that are around us and our friends, sometimes even our loved ones. And literally the world is drawing them in and defeating them, and they're headed toward the damnation of hell. Hell's not a popular subject, but it's a biblical subject. Hell's not a subject that you think a whole lot about and don't want to because of the reality of it, but hell is real, and this world is drawing people more and more toward itself, to sending them to that place of destruction and damnation. So you and I this morning that are Christians, Peter sets forth some wonderful things that we have. Peter sets forth some things in these verses that he has given to us under the inspiration that will help us as a believer to know how that we can live and enjoy the things of God. Notice verse number 1 there. It says, to them, here's who he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now, that's not faith as of a denomination. That's not faith of what we maybe set in order as our standard of living and our standard of doctrine. But that like precious faith that Peter's talking about is that faith that brings us to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This faith brings a relationship with Christ, and it is a precious faith. I'm glad this morning I have a relationship with the Lord. Sometimes my fellowship's not real great. Sometimes I break fellowship with Him, but He never breaks relationship with me, and I have a precious faith because of that. One day I heard the gospel. One Sunday night I went forward. I got saved, and from that moment on I've had that precious faith. But Peter is writing to these folks that he believes they all have the same precious faith. They all have that same belief of salvation. I can go around this morning, I could take time and talk to each one of you, and we would have a precious faith relationship together because we have it in not what we do, but we have it in what the Lord has done for us. We have a faith together. When you talk about your salvation, Brother Gallagher told this morning about when he got saved. I've heard Brother Broughton tell time and time again about how he got saved. I've heard some of you testify how you got saved and where you were and what was going on. That's a precious faith that you have, and we can share that one to another. And so Peter is writing to folks that have a relationship and a fellowship together on salvation. Now, when I'm around somebody that doesn't believe salvation according to the biblical standard, we have a crossways. It comes to a point somewhere that we're going to disagree on something. It comes to a point that if somebody you're dealing with, somebody you're talking to, whether it be friends or family or whoever it might be, if you're talking on religious matters, we'll call it that, and they'll give you their idea of how they're going to heaven, all of a sudden we're at crossways because it's not living up and standing up to the biblical principle of salvation by faith. And so Peter, as he writes in his last days, he's writing to folks that has a fellowship with Christ, but not only that, has a fellowship with the saints. You and I together, we have these things in common. It is a like precious faith. The Bible says in the little book of Jude, verse number 3, says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Every one of us in here this morning, we have a common salvation. Now that word common doesn't mean plain or not useful. It means the same. And every person in this building this morning, if you're born again and I'm born again, then we have a common salvation. But it goes much broader than this building. It goes out these doors, and you can meet folks on the street. If you have a common salvation, you can have fellowship. I've been places where I didn't know anybody, and you'd meet somebody, and all of a sudden you realize they believe what you believe. They're saved like you're saved, and you have a fellowship together. And Peter is writing to those that have that like precious faith. It is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, with us through the righteousness of God. We're saved this morning because God sent His Son. His Son gave His life. And the righteousness of God is revealed in Jesus. We believe upon Him. And Peter says here that this precious faith that we have is through the righteousness of God and our Savior. It is the righteousness of God that brings us to an understanding of salvation. Romans chapter number 7, verse number 18 says, "For I know that in me..." And Paul says, that is in my flesh. What he's saying says, I know me. You know you and I know me. And Paul says, "For that I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." This morning, outside of the grace of God, can you name one good thing about your life? I'm afraid we'd have trouble doing that. I'm afraid we'd have a problem of naming any good thing about us. He says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I've heard people say, I try my best, and I still falter. And that's what Paul's saying. He says here that we have a battle daily, and weekly, monthly, yearly. We have that battle with this old flesh. He says, I found within me the will present with me to do right and to do good. He said, but to perform it, he says, I find that not. How do we perform the righteousness of God? How do we perform the goodness of the Lord? It's only through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so we have a precious faith. We have a standing with God that is great, and nobody can change that. You cannot question him. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. It says, "For thou that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." Thank God I know who the ruler is. I know who the potentate is. I know who the King of kings is, the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus Christ. And we have an unquestionable standing with him. That as we prayed this morning, we go into the very presence of the Lord. We go into the very throne room of God, and we besiege him, and we come before him, and we give him our prayer requests, because we have a great relationship. We have a common salvation. We have a salvation that is precious in the sight of our Lord and in the precious sight of you and I. And so this morning, these things we have that Peter is talking about, that every believer has if they are true to the Lord, if they are more than just a church member, if they are more than just someone that names the name of Christ, but I'm talking about literally knows that they know that they know they are saved. That if they were to die at this very moment, split moment, they don't have to worry about, I hope I'm going to heaven, but they know I'm going because of this precious faith. That I know that when I leave this world, that when I depart this life, as Peter says here, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle. Peter says, before long I'm going to die. Before long I'm going to be martyred. He said, my days are short upon this life. And we don't know how many days we have, how many sometimes even moments we have. But I'm glad, thank God, for the precious faith that delivers into the very presence of the Lord. That we can go stand before God, and we're standing in his righteousness and his goodness. Verse number 2 says here that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the grace to endure the things that come our way. The grace of God is abundant. It is very very abundant to folks if they will but believe. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound into the glory of God." He uses that word, abundant grace. There is enough grace to cover my sins. As sin abounds, as sin grows, as sin multiplies, grace does much more abound. The abounding grace of God is there to keep us and there to hold us and there to bring us into a loving relationship continually with the Lord. Not only is it abundant, but thank God it's available to all. It's available to him. It's available to you. It's available to me. And the grace of God is there for us. There is no temptation taking you to such common a man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. As temptation comes to us, I'm glad he gives us escape. I'm glad he gives us a way that we don't have to falter, we don't have to fail, we don't have to go down that road or that problem of temptation. But thank God we have the grace to endure the things of this world. His grace is sufficient. Paul made that statement. The Lord told Paul that his grace was sufficient. Have you ever thought, I don't know how much more I can bear? I believe Paul was to that point. I believe he was to that condition that he just didn't know what to do. Here's the problem in my flesh, whatever it was. And he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, my grace will take care of it. Doesn't matter what comes our way, whether it be finances or whether it be physical things, whether it be spiritual things, thank God he is able. Thank the Lord this morning he is able to take care of us because his grace is sufficient. Paul says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We realize how weak we are. We realize how undone we are. We realize how undeserving we are. And then all of a sudden the Lord comes along and he lifts us up with his mercy and his power. And he brushes us off and takes care of us and gives to us the life that is so abundant to you and I. We have these things as a believer. We have these things as a Christian. The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have a common faith other than a disbelief. The world doesn't have a common salvation. They have no salvation. The world doesn't have a relationship with righteousness. The world doesn't have a relationship with God. The world doesn't have an idea how grace is enduring and how grace will help us and give us strength to go on. But thank God you and I this morning, that's part of that like precious faith. That's part of that faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can trust him and believe upon him, and we have that grace to endure. Now, I don't endure in order to go to heaven. I'm already been enduring. And I'm endured because I trusted him. And that which he began in me, he will finish one day. He will complete that in you and I. A lot of impurities, a lot of imperfections right now. None of us this morning would want to be completely honest with each other and open our heart and say, here's my life. We don't want to do that. And I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to do that with the Lord. He already knows my life. And he knows your life. And maybe surprisingly to us, he still loves us. He knows me, but he loves me. He doesn't love me because he knows me, but he loves me because he loves me. He loves me for just the reason that he's holy and righteous and he sent his son to die for mankind. And so therefore he loves me and he identifies and he gives us that in the word of God that we can trust him and know him. He tells us here that we can have peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to have peace. I don't know about your life, but when I got saved, there was a burden lifted from my soul. There was a struggle. I was just a young boy. But I'd been in church all my life. I knew what it meant to be a sinner. I wasn't out doing all the categorizing of sin. And the devil, by the way, he'll use that against you. I wasn't guilty of doing all the sins that we read about and people go to prison for. I wasn't guilty of all that, but I was a sinner by nature. My nature was lost. I was undone. And through the preaching of God's word, he made me to realize I needed a Savior. He made me to understand that I could have peace with him. He would make me to understand that I could trust him and all these things would be removed. But like many folks, and even Brother Gallagher mentioned this morning, many times we hear that. Many times we understand that. Many times we're under conviction of that. But yet we say, well, I'll be glad this is over. I'll be glad when I go home. I'm glad I get out of the church. But thank God one day he captured me and arrested my soul and made me realize I needed God. And that's the peace that we have and the trust that we have. In the midst of a stormy life, he can give peace. The storms of life do come. The scripture gives us time and time again examples of the storms on the sea and how Jesus would calm that, how he would calm not only the waters of the sea, but he would calm the fears of his disciples. He would calm the fears of those that were sick and he would heal their diseases. He would calm the fears and the sorrows even of a of sisters that had lost a brother named Lazarus. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he would not have died. But the Lord delayed his coming so he could magnify who he really was. And of course, we know that he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. I don't know how he came out. That'd been an interesting sight when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, because he was bound head and foot and body in the clothing of the burial of the Jew. He was bound. And the scripture says he came bound. And he said, loose him, let him go, set him free. Thank God. That's what he did with me one day, what he did with you when we obtained that like precious faith. We were bound in our sins. We were bound in our storms of life. We were bound in the midst of the sorrows of our soul. But yet, thank God he came. Our world is very confusing today. I don't know how anybody faces the day in America without God. I just don't understand how that can be done. I don't know how a person can get up in the morning and never give any thought of God, never give any thought of eternity, and go about their life and hear all the struggles and the problems of this world. I'm glad this morning God's given us grace and peace. I'm glad he's given us, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of the storms, he can give us a settling peace that the world does not understand. That we can trust the Lord, that we can follow the Lord and have faith fully in him, that everything will be okay. Whatever we're facing, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. Whatever struggle is around us, whatever problem is there, it may not be to our liking, but because of Christ, everything will be okay. Because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the struggles that every family goes through. Our family has been sort of, has not had that. And now we're facing things we do not know. But you know what? Everything's going to be okay. And I've had to come to that reality that the Lord is in control, that He'll take care of it in His own way and His own will. That doesn't mean the tears are not shed. Doesn't mean the sorrow of heart is not there. Doesn't mean the struggles don't come. But I thank God I can have peace with the Lord. I can have peace with God that everything is well and He's controlling it all by His handiwork. I don't have to wonder if the Lord knows what He's doing. I know He knows what He's doing. I don't have to wonder if tomorrow will be confusing, and I've found out that God's changed His mind. God doesn't change His mind. God doesn't work. God is omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful. And He's there to help us in the midst of the storms. He's there to help us in the midst of the sorrows and the confusions. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Somebody said, we ought not to worry, but to pray. That is true. But sometimes worry overshadows our prayer life, doesn't it? I mean, we're human, and God knows we're human, and we worry. I don't necessarily think all worry is sin. Now, some worry is. But we can have concern and worry for those we love and those around us and believe the Lord and still be worried about them. Not to the point of disbelieving, not to the point of throwing in the towel and saying, what's the use to serve God? He's not going to do anything for me. That worry is sinful. But I can be concerned about people and be concerned about family and be concerned about even your family. And you can be concerned about my family. And that's not a sinful thing. That is bearing the burdens one with another. And so this morning we have peace that we can trust Him and follow Him. And then thank God one day, verse number 3, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If we decipher that verse, you'll find out that He's given us power to be overcomers. He's given us the power to understand life. The world this morning wants to explain life. Where's it come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? How did we get here? How did it all start? How's it all going to end? I'm glad the Bible says here that according to his divine power hath given unto us. Who's that us? Like precious faith people. He has given unto us given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given to you and I the things we need to know about life. This book tells me where it came from. It came from God. We are a created being. We are an offspring. We are in the family of this world. We are created in the image of our God. And so I know where I came from. And this book tells me where I'm going. I'm going to hell if I don't change some things in my life. I'm going to a place of sorrow and disgrace and damnation, of eternal punishment. So I know where I came from, know where I'm going. I know where I can go. If I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I can go to heaven. If I follow Him, if I understand and believe and trust, I can have peace to be an overcomer and realize that one day everything will be just right as it should be. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, the Scripture says. If we have this precious faith, if we have this loving faith, this wonderful common salvation, then we have overcome the world, and the victory that overcomes the world is in our faith. And so this morning, Peter says, we're survivors. Peter says that we are overcomers. We can go on and we can serve even in the midst of sorrows and tears and struggles and heartache to the point that we hardly can bear it. Thank God we know He's in control and He has given us the ability to overcome. We can overcome this world. We can overcome evil. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 12, be not overcome with overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what's happening in our world? Evil is overcoming good. The world always reverses God's order. He says, yes, there's evil, but you can overcome evil with good. And that word good means the goodness or righteousness of God. And so we have these things given to He's given everything to us, given us all things that pertains to life. Know where I come from, know where I'm going, know where I can go. I know the end of the story. I know there's an eternity out there, and I'm going to spend it with the Lord because He is our God, because of that common faith salvation. Verse number 4 says, whereby is given to us exceeding great precious promises. Not only is there a precious faith, but there's a precious promise. He says here the precious promise that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I have the reality, you and I have the reality of a changed life. If your life's not changed, then you're not saved. I believe it's that very simple. When God comes in, moves in, then He changes your life. He begins a process of change also. There are some things that change immediately, but there are some things that, what's the song say? He's still working on me. He's still helping me to understand. He's still helping me to believe Him more. He's still helping me understand some of the falls and the wiles of the devil. And I have eternal life. Thank God hell is gone forevermore out of my history. Every one of us has a history, and our future one day will be our history, and hell is not there if you're a believer. I'm glad I can, when I stand behind a pulpit or a stand with a casket in front of us of a believer, boy, it's so great to be able to say, I know where they are. It's so great to understand they're now in the very presence of our Lord. Hell is gone out of our reality. Hell is gone from even the thought of maybe going there. Sometimes the devil will come along and say, well, you're really not saved. Just take him back to the day you got saved. He can't handle the Word of God. As the Lord was tempted 40 days, 40 nights there in the wilderness, every time the devil came to Jesus Christ and tempted Him, what did He use? He used the Scripture.
the scripture said, the devil can't handle, and he certainly cannot overrule the scripture. And so we have a changed life, that hell is gone, and heaven is reality. You know, this morning as a Christian, we are just as sure for heaven as if we were already there. Well, what a wonderful thought. Does it matter in between here? At some funerals, I've read that little poem, The Dash, that dash in between the day we were born and the day we die. It's what we do in the dash that matters. You know what? My dash is still active, but there's not a thing that can take place in my life in that thing called the dash that can change the reality. I'm going to heaven. That's assurance. Somebody said, oh, you just, yeah, I believe salvation is real. I believe God is real. I believe Jesus is real. I believe heaven is real and the reality of it. And Jesus said, my Father's house has many mansions. Has a place that we can go one day. We call it heaven. We call it a place where God abides. It's given many descriptive terms in the scripture. But the greatest term that we find is called heaven. Not everybody goes to heaven. Not everybody that says they're going to heaven will go to heaven. The only people that will go to heaven is that one day they obtain that like precious faith. Born again, precious with God, faith in Jesus Christ, able to commune with each other of what heaven's going to be like, of the joy of knowing Christ as our personal Savior. So thank God this morning I can sing those songs. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I can sing the songs of Zion and can sing about the street of gold and the gates of pearl because they're real. Somebody said, oh, they're just the figment of someone's imagination. No, no. Heaven's real. And we can only go there by like precious faith. Nobody goes any different than I go. I said, well, you think you're something? No, because I can't go any different than you go. And I can't go any different than where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, what? Except by me, like precious faith. Let's stand together this morning and rejoice this day.